I never get tired of Keith Urban. He's one of my favorites. And sure, out of Craven, he's performed. I'd say he's in my top five of performers there this morning. Again, I've got weekend passes to give away after the 8 o'clock news. If you include your first and last name and who you think is the best act you've ever seen at Craven, doesn't matter if it's Country Thunder, go back to the Father Larry days. I don't care. The Big Valley Jamboree. Let me know. I know some of you really enjoyed Alan Jackson. Aaron said Steve Earle was my favorite at Craven. Yeah, that was probably, a couple of years ago? He's been a few times. A couple of years back, he was on just before Chris Stapleton. That was a pretty cool night. But keep the text coming. Everyone who does so is entered to win the Weekend Passes All Award after the 8 o'clock news. If you're a baseball fan, stick around after the 7 o'clock news this morning. Looking forward to catching up with my buddy Gary Brotzel, who is the GM of the Regina Red Sox, who are preparing for their new season. I'm curious about the club, the food, and the fun that's all set to roll out the end of the month here. And speaking of ball, Pete Rose is still MLB's all-time hits leader.
Everybody on their feet here in Cincinnati and a worldwide television audience watching here at Riverfront Stadium. 2-1 pitch from Shaw.
Go September 11th, 1985, passing Ty Cobb, becoming baseball's hit king. And now the commissioner of Major League Baseball ruling yesterday that bans from the game end with death. That means Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson are back in and they're eligible for the Hall of Fame. And in what is said to be Pete Rose's final interview, he was pretty clear, though, on why he thought being inducted into the Hall of Fame after he died was just a lousy idea.
I don't see much sense in putting me on the ballot after I die. Most of the people who rooted for me my whole career would love to see me in the Hall of Fame as a living player, not as someone who's 10 feet under. What good would it do my family if they put me in the Hall of Fame after I die? Because I'm the one that did the work. I'm the one that put the time in. I'm the one that was dedicated to the game of baseball. I was the one dedicated to my teammates and for the game of baseball in general.
Pete died September 2024. He was 83. And whether or not Rose should enter the Hall of Fame, even against his own wishes, as you heard there, it's likely a debate I think you'll hear on the Green Zone. And you can weigh in later with Jamie and Locker, too. But Pete and Joe can't get into the Hall of Fame until 2028 at the earliest. Now that's because their greatest contributions to baseball came before 1980, meaning they have to be considered by the 12-person Classic Baseball Committee. So that committee, they don't even meet till December of 2027. So it'll be a while before we even get there. Hey, this story that was brought back courtesy of Netflix, the Menendez brothers story, well, they were just resentenced for the 1989 murders of their parents, which is clearing a major hurdle for them to be free again. Eric and Lyle Menendez have been resentenced for the double murder of their parents, seeing it reduced now from life without the possibility of parole to 50 years with the possibility of parole. And the move sets up the brothers' chance to get their freedom by making them eligible here. It's a process, though, that could take months or even years.
He sentenced them to 50 to life, which means they're immediately eligible. All bets are still on. The resentencing has happened.
That's the Menendez lawyer. So now the brothers must appear before the California Parole Board, where a panel that includes Governor Gavin Newsom will make the final decision on granting them parole. And without suggesting they should be released, the judge said last night this was an absolutely horrific crime. But he went on to add that the number of letters he received from prison officials on the brothers' behalf was remarkable. Even earlier, the Menendez family members, including a close cousin Marie, testified, "They are universally forgiven by our family and the brothers, who have been in prison for over 30 years, have become model prisoners over the last two decades." Who might win tonight, the Leafs or the Panthers? That game on at 5 o'clock. The Oilers and Knights. Game time is 7:30. If the Oilers win in Vegas, that series is over. Jets, it's not over for them yet. Kevin Martell, you must assess the game for me from last night, please.
Yeah. Well, you know, in every game, it's not like Dallas is totally outmatching Winnipeg. Yeah. Winnipeg is right there. It's just a couple key saves aren't made, a couple critical plays, and it seems like that's it for the Jets. That said, the next game is, yeah, tomorrow at home for the Jets. They've been pretty good at home. They've only lost once in the playoffs at home. I feel like they can win that. I feel like eventually they're going to get that monkey off their back.
They haven't won on the road yet, Kevin.
Not in the playoffs. Not this year, not last year, and only once 2 years ago. So it's not something that's been great for them. They'll eventually win on the road again. They can't lose on the road forever.
I feel as if you're telling me you have hope then.
I do. I do have some hope. And then if there's a game seven, it's back in Winnipeg.
Okay.
So, teams have come back before. The LA Kings came back from 3-0 a couple years back, I guess 10 years back, and won the Stanley Cup that year.
Yes, Kevin, it can happen. Good luck. Here we go again. There's a discussion of what to do with the old Taylor Field.
There is, yeah. And so they're going to be talking about this at executive committee today, namely about money. They want to get some grants, federal grants, other levels of government grants to help develop that land there, which has been sitting vacant for, well, the last, what, 8 years now since the old Mosaic Stadium came down. So they want to figure out what they can possibly do with that. Step one, secure the money. And then once they get that, they can start to move forward with some of, I guess you'd call it, the unsexy work, but the needed work for land like that, right? Water infrastructure, sewer, things like that, to get some green space there, to build some roads as well. So some of that, but it's more than we've had in 8 years.
Prime Minister Carney revealed his new cabinet yesterday, a couple dozen new faces and an equal amount of men and women. Smaller cabinet, 28 in total, were sworn in, and something for Saskatchewan.
Buckley Belanger, the only Liberal MP from this province representing that northern riding. Buckley is in. He is Secretary of State for Rural Development. And this is kind of a new term, the Secretary of State. Of course, you'd be familiar with it for Americans. But this is something they had in previous Liberal governments, dating back, I think, to Jean Chrétien. It's not a full cabinet minister. They're more like specific portfolios, very specific, smaller portfolios, but they're still considered a cabinet minister.
Okay. And look, Kevin, the forecast has changed. Yesterday we were talking there could be snow Saturday. No, just a lousy May-long weekend of cooler weather.
You can't imagine how many people came up to me and said, like, oh, really? Are you kidding me? Snow?
Yeah.
For the weekend, possibly? Like, this is May-long. I want to be outside and doing things. So some good news there for those that don't like snow.
It's just going to be cool. Highs of 10, 12 degrees. That's about as good as it gets on the weekend. But thank you, Kevin Bartel. Coming up next hour, Gary Brodsell from the Regina Red Sox gives us a preview of what's to come. I'm curious about the food. I'm always curious about the ballpark food. And we'll catch up with Evan Bray to see what's coming up on his show. I know one of the stars of one of my favorite shows from The Walking Dead, Dead City, is going to be on there. That's kind of cool. And we'll catch up with CJME writer reporter Britton Gray from day three of Rider Training Camp. There were fisticuffs yesterday. The coach sent him into the locker room. More on that coming up. Well, it is, again, going to be a busy May-long weekend, although a lot cooler than we'd like it to be. But I know the last few weekends you've already, if you have kids in your family, busy with extracurricular activities, flag football, Little League Baseball has started. Soon you'll be looking for family ideas to spend your evenings. And one of the best is always to enjoy the Western Canadian Baseball League and the Regina Red Sox, who kick off a new season the end of the month here at Currie Field. To hear more is Gary Brodsell. He joins me now. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be on, Greg.
I'm happy you're here. I'll get to the team here in a moment, but you must be busy behind the scenes getting this season ready. What's it take to get the Red Sox all prepped before that May 29th game?
Well, the biggest thing is just getting the park ready. I think the last 2 days I haven't left there, so it's starting to look good. We have to move stuff from our off-season office and kind of get moved over there and settled in. And it's looking good.
Well, Currie Field, there's only so much you can do, and you've done a lot there to make the very best of it. But what's the game night experience going to be like this year? Food and themes are always a big draw. What have you got?
Yeah, we have a number of themes lined up. For our home opener, we're going to honor the Pat Canadians, who recently won the TELUS Cup, as everybody knows. So we're going to host them at the game. And we've got lots of promotions. We're going to have a few drink special nights. We're going to have two win nights. We're calling them guaranteed win nights. So if you're at the game and we don't win, you'll get a free ticket to another game. So it's putting a little pressure on the team.
How is the team returning this year? You got a lot of newbies or not?
We do not, which is absolutely fantastic. We're returning 13 players from our roster.
Oh, good.
Roughly two-thirds. I think we have 18 seniors and 10 juniors. 18 Division One players. So, yeah, looking very, very, very strong.
Well, that's awesome news. Is there a player to maybe pick one, just like, the fans could maybe be on the watch for, that you think, wow, this is someone who you've got to watch?
Well, I can't just pick one, but I'm going to throw Jackson Searing, who was a fan favorite last year. He played in the playoffs there, wouldn't leave the field after taking a 90-mile-an-hour fastball to the face, breaking his nose and cheekbone. He's just a warrior. And interesting story there. Jackson moved over to Louisiana State Shreveport, an NAIA D1 school. And we just happened to have him and four other players coming there or from that school, and they're actually chasing history. They're 56-0 right now, and they hope to have an undefeated season, which is crazy when you think about it.
No kidding. Yeah, in this day and age, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So the new season kicks off at Curry Field on May 29th, and it's also a night to honor the Pat Canadians. You got Maddox Schultz there on the first pitch, or do you know yet?
I am sure hoping he's coming.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see. Does he got a good arm? We know he's working on a good shot there.
Yeah, well, you know what we're going to do with the boys is every one of them is going to throw out the opening pitch one after another as they introduce themselves, and we'll find out who has the arm.
How about we do this? Why don't you just put the ball down on the base there and let them use their hockey stick towards it?
Yeah. That's
right off the mound. All right, Gary. Hey, it's good to catch up. Excited about the new season. I want everyone to know the tickets are on sale for the entire season, but you can walk right up to Curry Field, can't you, at game time?
Yeah, you can. And I'm just going to mention, like, our family pack, two adults, three kids for $37. I mean, you just can't beat that in today's world.
That's an awesome price. All right, Gary. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, anytime, Greg.
Well, there you go. There's an intro for Evan Bryce. Going to be talking about zombies eventually on the show this morning. I'll get to that in a moment. Good morning, Evan.
How's it going today, buddy?
It's going all right. I have to get your take on Carney's cabinet. 24 new faces, but that front bench during the ceremony looked pretty similar to what we've seen before. But Carney wants everyone to know he's the change.
Right.
Do we give him time or what do you think?
Full disclosure, I was watching it play out. I had the TV on mute yesterday. And the second I saw Stephen Guibo sitting in that front row, Greg, I was literally raging. And I know it came out on the radio because I talked about it five times in the hour. But I just feel like Stephen Guibo is a lightning rod, and I'm trying not to just focus and zone in on him. But to me, he's been, he is climate crazed. He is anti-oil and gas, and he has been the bane of Western Canada's existence for a long time. So put that aside. I don't think anyone could expect Mark Carney not to have some returning cabinet people. There are some fairly high profile people that justifiably will be in some of those higher profile positions. No one can argue that. There's a lot of new faces in there as well. So, I think we spent a lot of time yesterday spinning our tires on Stephen Guibo, but I expect we'll dig in deeper today. I've got Warren Kinsella, who's a great Canadian political commentator, on the show to kick off the conversation this morning, and then we open up the phone lines.
Yeah, and all that being said, and for very valid reasons, we have pretty strong opinions out here west. But there comes a point where, there's only so much we can point out that, oh, there's that, there's there. We're just going to have to wait and see at this point.
That's right.
Because, because what it all comes down to is we don't know really until we see again. And yeah. I know You like to remain a little optimistic. He is coming, talking to all the premiers. Even Mo sounded a little more optimistic.
That's
so
right.
Knows? We got to.
And I think that's the right tone, Greg. Is to say, okay, look, let's give this a shot. We will know in short order if this is a new version of the Liberal government or if it's the same old.
Yeah, I can agree with that. All right, so coming up on your show today. A good to Saski, who's gone Hollywood on us, star of a number of shows. Kim Coates is on the show.
Yeah, from Circle Drive to Hollywood Boulevard. Kim Coates is such a great guy to talk to. He's just so down to earth. And I loved him as Tig on Sons of Anarchy. You and I both have been raving about American Primeval. I thought that was a great series.
Yeah, that was.
The Walking Dead. I'm not a guy who's actually watched a lot of The Walking Dead. I've seen a couple of episodes, but you, I know, love it.
Oh, I love the series. I've seen every spinoff. And Kim has just been introduced in The Walking Dead Dead City on Sunday nights now. And he's made his first appearance. It was a small one, but I am eager to see how he's just creepy enough to be perfect for that series.
No, that's the thing. Like he plays these roles so well. And then when you chat with him, he's just such a down to earth guy. So I look forward to connecting with him. He's also, by the way, a big Leafs fan. So I'm sure he'll have thoughts on the Leafs and the playoffs. We'll talk a bit about that as well.
Well, and there you go. Do you have any thoughts on tonight's Leafs game? They, it's a best of three now.
Yeah. I think the Leafs are in a good position. I really do. I feel good about the Leafs and the Oilers. I don't feel so good about the Jets. Another tough one last night. And Hellebuck just isn't looking like the goalie that he was during the regular season.
Yeah, that one wrister, I'm sure he would want back. But he said after the game, hey, we're just going to take it one game at a time.
And that's the right answer.
All right. So Carney's cabinet will be assessed. And you've got Kim Coates on. And a little later in the show, what else here you got?
Well, I've got Saskatchewan's Justice Minister Tim McLeod joining the show. We're going to talk about a variety of things from wildfires to the marshals. When are the marshals up and running in the province, and how is that going to make a difference? And what's going on with the federal government's gun grab? Remember, this was big news for the longest time, and it's been so quiet. Is this new federal Liberal government going to continue on with the gun ban, which has become basically a confiscation of military-style rifles? I know Minister McLeod has done some early conversations with the federal government on that, so we'll touch on that with Minister McLeod later in the show as well.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Thanks, Greg.
Evan Bray back at 8:30.